Today's reading is from Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 49. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to move the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that we can gather together and hear your voice, even though we're spread throughout this area. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts and that you would change us as we hear your voice now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as a teenager, we had family holidays in Mallorca. And the evening entertainment was to go into town, and there on the streets were people selling Rolex watches, Oakley sunglasses and Levi belts, and that was at the fraction of the price that you'd expect. Well, the idea was to haggle them down to get the best price. Well, just looking at these branded products, you'd think that they're genuine, that they are the real deal. But of course, their true worth was seen when you used them. So for example, the Rolex watch, that the hands actually fell off. The Oakley sunglasses were completely useless in the sun, and the Levi belt, well, it just broke, and in the middle it was just cardboard. So we thought we were getting a bargain, but actually we probably paid way more than what they were worth. Well, this afternoon we'll be seeing the clear evidence of those who are genuine followers of Jesus and who's a fake. And this will be clearly shown in how we love and have mercy towards one another. Well, as we come to Jesus, there is no doubt that he and his message is genuine. As we've been looking at each week, at chapter 4, verse 18, it says this: to proclaim good news to the poor, to set the oppressed free. This was Jesus' mission. This is what he said he'd come to do. And Jesus put this good news into action. And that is when he said to the paralytic, son or friend, your sins are forgiven. To demonstrate that he had genuine authority to forgive sin that is against God, but he did what only God alone could do. He made this paralytic instantly walk just like that. And so the next thing we see is that Jesus lived out his message. That is by going to sinners like Levi, the tax collector, and as he called sinners to repent. That is to restore their relationship with God and have Jesus as their Lord. So as Jesus calls his disciples together, he outlines what a genuine follower looks like on the Sermon on the Plain. That's an open area, not obviously a plain in the sky. Well, Jesus says that being part of God's family means that you're to reflect what God our Father is like. We see that in verse 36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So our relationship with God our Father, well, depends completely upon his mercy and forgiveness. In that case, everything we do should flow out of what God is like. We're to show this in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So in this passage, Jesus shows us four humorous pictures that contain like stories, a bit like cartoons. And we're to show that we are to have this attitude like God's of mercy and forgiveness. Now, as we examine these pictures, we're presented with two people most of the time. One person is genuine, and the other person, while looks to be the real deal, is shown to be a fake follower of Jesus. So, like handling a fake Rolex watch or a pair of Oakley sunglasses on a market stall, well, these stories help us to spot the difference between a fake and a genuine disciple, as these distinguishing marks will be clearly seen. So the first thing I want us to see from God's word is this. Are you clearly forgiven? That's verses 37 to 42. Are you clearly forgiven? Now, we celebrated my son's birthday a week and a so ago, and we're encouraging him to write thank you cards to show as for the presents to our relatives. We're teaching him to reply saying that he's grateful for what he's received. Now, Christians, we're to have a genuine response too. That is for the good that we've received of God's love shown in mercy and forgiveness. And we see the clear evidence that Jesus presents of who is a genuine follower in verse 37. He says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Now, Jesus isn't saying that the evidence of a Christian is someone who never judges anyone. Now, we are still responsible for deciding when wrong has been done. You know, we don't close our eyes to sin. Now, the evidence of a Christian is when we've been wronged or hurt, or we see sin in others, that we're not to be critical, not to be judgmental, to condemn that person. And we see the reason Jesus gives for us not holding grudges or to be heavily negative. And he replaces the two negatives with these two positives that we see in verse 37. Look with me, it goes on to say this. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. So when we are wrong, well, or wronged, I mean, we're not to hold it against them. Actually, we're to let it go. We are to forgive them. This is evidence then that you've been clearly forgiven by God. Whereas if you've experienced God's forgiveness, his mercy, but yet deny forgiveness to others and constantly judge them, well, this is evidence that we know nothing about God's forgiveness ourselves. So you're to treat others the way that God has generously treated you. And in verse 38, Jesus gives an everyday example of generously measuring out grain from a marketplace where someone's cloak becomes a bit of a pocket to carry grain. It says this, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured against you. So how do you measure out your forgiveness? Do you hold it others to account for every little thing that they've done wrong against you? But in the same time, asking God to let us off from everything that we've ever done against him. You see, we're to forgive generously, thinking the best of them, but not to quickly think the worst of their intentions and their motivations. But to thank God for them, to speak well of them. This is hard teaching, and I think it's meant to make us squirm a little bit, or quite a lot. See, if we're holding something against someone, Jesus says, let it go. And I need to listen to this, as unforgiveness can be a soundtrack that is always playing in my life. I wonder if that's the same for you. So once I worked alongside someone who I found difficult. In my mind, I was making a catalogue of everything wrong that they had done. And I would replay it most evenings to Jess, my wife. Well, I needed to forgive this person and stop being so critical of this young guy. And actually, I repented of my condemning and ungenerous attitude towards him. I have to say, sometimes it's a massive step, isn't it? And a struggle to forgive someone. It takes a long, long time to get to the point where you can say, I forgive you. But then when we've forgiven them, we are to keep saying to ourselves, I have forgiven them. I have forgiven them. This then clearly shows that we've been forgiven by God. So we're to learn how to forgive when we've seen it best lived out in others. That's what I think. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here, especially for those that we look up to. We see that in verses 39 to 40, where Jesus questions about if we're learning from the right leaders. So as we come to the cartoon, Jesus is representing, remember, a genuine and a fake, and here it is of a leader. So in verse 39 it says this, he also told them this parable, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Now Jesus probably has the Pharisees in view here, and they claim to know it all, but do little more than just, well, find fault with everyone around them. Jesus is saying, well, stop following them. They are blind to the ways of God. Naturally, they're leading you into disaster, into a pit. So in verse 40, Jesus warns us to be careful about the leaders that we choose, that we follow. Naturally, we're to follow Jesus, the one who's the perfect leader, who demonstrates forgiveness. So who is Jesus calling blind? Well, I think the answer is actually all of us. See, we're just as blind as the Pharisees are. And look at verse 42. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourselves fail to see the plank in your own eye? It's a wonderfully ridiculous example that Jesus gives, that of a person who's examining someone else's life so closely, they spot a little bit of sawdust in someone's eye. And that is sin in their life. But are completely oblivious to the huge plank of wood sticking out of their own eye, or sin in their own life. I mean, hands up if you've never done that. I don't think any hand should really be up at all. We think we can see perfectly, and it comes so easily to us, doesn't it? But in fact, we are guilty of all being judgmental. And what does Jesus call the person who does this in verse 42? You hypocrite. Now, if you find yourself maybe preparing a Bible study and you say, ah, Sue really needs to hear this, then beware, because you probably have a massive plank sticking out of your eye that is of your sin. Now, the difference between a fake and a genuine follower is what happens next in verse 42. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, once we've clearly seen sin in our own life and are dealing with it, then we can show mercy to others. When a Christian is struggling with their sin, they don't need a judge. They need someone who's aware of their own sin, who has taken the floorboard out of their own eye. So however long you've been a Christian, if you're a fellowship group leader, a leader maybe in children's or youth work, you're still a sinner who needs to follow Jesus as Lord, as everyone else does. And if you are clearly forgiven, then you'll, well, forgive others, just as Jesus has forgiven you. So the second thing that we see from God's word is, are you clearly fruitful? Verses 43 to 45. Are you clearly fruitful? Now, I've got a slide that will hopefully be coming up in a few moments, just on the screen now. And I want you to see, which one do you think is a pineapple tree? Maybe you know already, but which one do you think it is? Well, actually, the pineapple tree, or pineapple plant, I should say, is the one in the bottom right-hand corner. There we go. Now, if you hadn't seen one before, you wouldn't know which tree or plant it was until it grew the pineapple. Many trees can look alike. But Jesus reminds us in verse 44, he says this, each tree is recognised by its own fruit. See, what distinguishes a tree is the fruit that it grows. As Jesus says in verse 44, you won't find figs among briars, and grapes, you won't find them among thorn bushes. They can never produce that fruit. It's not within their nature. See, it doesn't matter how much careful attention you give them, how much water or light, they'll never produce that fruit. It's not within their nature. It's the same with people. People can't produce good fruit. That is, they can't live the right life for God. That is, if they don't have a relationship with God. So how can we see it? Well, it can take a long time for a plant to grow fruit. It takes a bit of time to show that over time. And that's the same with people. The real fruit of a person is shown over time, not in one particular moment. You don't recognise a real Christian because they've given an amazing sermon, or that they have amazing Bible knowledge, or the fact that they come to church all their life. But Jesus says that you recognise a real Christian clearly by their fruit. Well, what is their fruit? Well, the next picture Jesus draws for us in verse 45 is of a man bringing out treasure from a storehouse. It says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. You see, whatever we bring out of our hearts is what they are filled with. That is what we bring out. So how do we know what is good or evil? Or verse 45, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus says what is in our heart, that is, will then outflow into our actions, and specifically here into our words, what we say. What we've already seen, do we speak kind of judgmentally? Are we heavily critical of people? Well, it's shown also when we're under pressure, that when we're tired, when we're caught off guard, our words portray us, what we're really like, what our hearts are really like. The contents of our hearts, well, they flow out into our lives. Our hearts are the source of what we do, what we think, say, and feel. So, is it like a sewer, or are they like fresh spring water? The contents of our heart must be right, or we'll never be able to live the right life for God. Now, I understand, Jesus isn't saying here, you've got to try harder. We'll never be free from our evil hearts that produce hypocrisy, judgmental pride, and cynical negativity. See, within ourselves, there is no power to have a generous love as Jesus commands. We can't do it by ourselves. But this is the good news. Jesus can change our hearts. This only happens when we come to Jesus and admit that our hearts are actually not filled with good, but actually storehouses of evil. And we need him. Then a swap takes place. Jesus takes our evil heart and gives us his own good, perfect heart. And that is only made possible by the death of Jesus on the cross. So when we trust in Jesus, then we are only able to bring out or produce good fruit, as it comes from Jesus's heart. So if you haven't asked Jesus already for this new heart, then come to him. Or there is no hope of pleasing him, no matter how hard you try. It's like, I don't know, finding figs from a thorn bush. You can't. You need Jesus. And we are to continually to come to Jesus, daily asking him to change us, give us this new heart that would then be filled with good. then this is clear evidence that we are clearly fruitful. So third thing I want us to see from God's word is this. Are you clearly saved? That's verses 46 to 49. Are you clearly saved? Now, like a counterfeit Rolex watch, it might look genuine and has the logo and the design, but after a few knocks or any contact with water, it's quickly seen to be shown as a fake. Well, it's the same with a fake disciple. They might look like good trees, but hear what Jesus has to say in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So it is possible to follow Jesus and call him Lord, Lord with your mouth, but never mean it. Now, if you do not obey Jesus, what he says, then he's not really your Lord at all. So what is the evidence of a genuine disciple? Well, verse 47 says this. As for everyone else who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. Now, Jesus' last cartoon goes on to show the evidence of this heart change only when you act on Jesus' words. Now, when listening to Jesus, you basically have two options. You either obey or ignore what he says. This is represented by two builders that each build a house, and with a casual glance, they might very well much look like the same. But one significant difference, see if you can spot it in verse 48. They're like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on rock. Then, 49, like a man who built a house on the ground without foundations. See, what made the difference is actually what lies beneath the surface. As one did the hard work of digging foundations on rock, time-consuming process, but well worth it, because the house survives the flood. This house represents the person who puts Jesus' words into practice. They listen to Jesus, treat him as Lord, doing what he says. Their lives are then saved from God's judgment. Now, the other builder, he built his house without foundations. It would have probably maybe been quickly put up on ground. Well, this person, they listen to Jesus' words, but they do not treat Jesus as Lord. That's because they don't put his words into practice. Jesus warns this person that they are in great danger. When the judgment of God comes on those who have not treated Jesus as Lord, well, listen to what happens in verse 49. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So either in the trials of this life or ultimately in God's judgment, it's showing whether you are clearly saved as a genuine follower of Jesus. But we don't need to wait until then. You see, this is a picture of two people. Both go to church, both hear Jesus' words, both think of themselves as Christians. Both are probably listening to me right now. But only one is a genuine disciple. So what is the evidence we are to look for that you and I are genuinely saved? Well, it's when you listen to the words of Jesus and do what he says. That is even the tough teaching that we hear on the Sermon on the Plain. Now understand, Jesus is not saying like, obey your word, my words, and this is how you earn a place in heaven. Now, he's saying that when you obey, it's evidence. Evidence that, well, you've experienced forgiveness from God, you have his heart change, and so are saved from God's judgment. See, the right response is that you want to please him by putting his words into practice. So as we read our Bibles, before we shut them, we should think and pray. You know, how can I put these words into practice today? Our fellowship group, as we know, it's not just a book club. How can we, it'd be good, I think, to encourage one another to when we meet up next time to see how have we put what we've learned into practice. Now, this isn't a guilt trip, but it's to encourage obedience to Jesus because he has saved us. As we now come to the end of the series of Man on a Mission in Luke's Gospel, I'd like to share a true story from one of my son's books, which is Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. Now, I think it sums up Jesus' mission. It's set in the American Civil War about a northerner, probably Abraham Lincoln, who bought a slave. And he said to her, you are free. And he walks away. But then she pulls on him and says, "Sir, if I am free, I want to serve the one or the person who has set me free." Now, apparently she did this well into her old age. If someone has been merciful to you like that, it makes you want to serve them. Well, with great mercy, Jesus has set us free from sin and God's judgment. And that is when he died on the cross. He now offers you and me forgiveness for everything we've ever done. And when we receive this mercy and forgiveness, well, we'll want to serve Jesus as Lord and to treat others as Jesus has treated us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've just heard. Lord, it is tough teaching. It is difficult. But Lord, thank you that, well, first of all, you have shown it. You have forgiven us. And that, Lord, you give us a heart change. And so, Lord, I pray as a response then that we would show forgiveness to others, that we would be generous towards them, and that then we put your words into action. Lord, by your Spirit, help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.